This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Mr. Pete Dillon.
Good evening, Serena Ryan. What an odd time of the night for us to be on the wireless.
I know. You know, when daylight savings kicks in next week, or this weekend, we'll actually be recording in sort of daylight.
Well, we'll be coming live to you in a sort of daylight. For those people that are not familiar with us, our voices in this time slot, we've been sort of 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night for the last 18 months.
You know, that's a very late night for us all.
Especially at our age.
I know.
So somebody's been kind enough to give us an earlier slot so we can get home for a nana nap.
Bit of a nana nap and a trip across the bridge. That's right. Yes. Look, it's so lovely to start early because it's always nice to finish early
And it's also nice to be live when we've got, you know, a few more listeners.
So when we're actually alive.
Yes. When we can be a little more animated. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. You can send an SMS. You can email onair@joy.org.au. What's our Twitter handle?
Our Twitter is salt n pepper joy. That's all one word. There's an N in the middle.
And why do you think people might want to be in touch with us tonight? We've got a very special guest to kick off our first prime time program.
We do. We wanted to do something big and something a bit fancy. So we've got the lovely Darren Hinch in the studio with us tonight, who is joining us for a bit of a chinwag on all things radio, same-sex marriage, the genesis of Darren. There's a whole stack of stuff we're going to throw at him.
The genesis of Darren. Good evening.
Good evening. Now, Darren, I was doing a bit of research today and discovered that you've been a journalist for as long as I've been alive. Does that bother you?
It should bother you. It means you're very old. Bother me. So you're 53.
No. There was something you came over from New Zealand in 1968?
No, earlier than that. No, I came from New Zealand in 1963. I'd already been a journalist then. I'm 68 years old and I would been a journalist since I was 15, so...
I'm not as old as that at all.
You've kept yourself nice.
You have.
No, I haven't actually, but maybe that's the answer.
Well, you've definitely played by your own rules.
Yeah, but I'm 68, but I've got a liver that's 40 years younger than I am.
Okay, so you've got a 28-year-old liver.
Yes. I think I need to get me one of those. Look, we'll come to Darren in just a moment. We've got quite a big show to get to, have we not?
We do. We're going to have a chat with Darren, and then we're talking to Ruth Forrest, who's an independent conservative MP over in Tasmania, and she's been on the record previously being opposed to same-sex marriage, but she's revised her views, and she's the lady that put the bill up in the upper house last week, which was sadly beaten. So we're going to chat to Ruth. We're then chatting to Sean Savoy.
I so want to call him a cracker, but I don't think that's right.
I don't think you'll get it. He's a homosexual, and he is a priest, a minister.
Yes.
And he does a radio show in Nevada, and he recently talked around some same-sex issue stuff on his show and was promptly sacked.
Yes.
So that's really, you know, that's something we're quite keen to talk to him about tonight.
Perhaps kick it off.
This is the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9. You're listening to Salt and Pepper with Serena and Pete. It must be Tuesday.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9, idiot.
You're with Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. Darren Hinch is one of Australia's most known voices, if not faces, in the Australian media. In a career spanning some, well, I say 40-plus years, he tells us it's more. He's been incredibly divisive. Media outlets hire him because of who he is, what he says, and why he says it. They fire him for the same reason. Last month, Hinch was sacked by Melbourne radio station 3AW after 10 years on Drive, and has gone back home to Channel 7 as a national public affairs commentator. He's spent more time on air than most broadcasters, and possibly more time in jail than most as well. Think what you like of Darren. What we like is the fact that he's not scared to stick his neck out for what he believes in. He joins us in the studio tonight on Salt and Pepper. Darren, welcome.
Thank you very much.
We're very pleased to have you in.
Good to be here. And congratulations on your new time slot.
Oh, we're very happy about it.
We're
going to get
thrilled.
Some rest.
We're quite thrilled. We can actually get to bed before midnight now, which is nice. Look, Darren, it's really interesting talking to you because you are a man who doesn't hold back in terms of what he believes and the strength of your convictions.
I wish I didn't have so many.
I think it's great. I think it's really fantastic because I have an issue with the censorship in media at the moment, and you're never guilty of that. What I would like, we're both really interested in how your views on same-sex marriage have evolved over time, because you've previously been opposed.
Totally
opposed. So I'd love you to talk us through what that opposition was about and how it changed.
Well, the old-fashioned idea of, marriage between a man and a woman, that's the way it is, that's the way it always was, when you realise it wasn't always like that, but never mind. I finally changed a few years, or 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, when I realised that my argument against same-sex marriage was not an argument at all. I couldn't hold up. And I credit my wife, Chanel, and my ex-wife, Jackie Weaver. I'd argue with them, and I found that the more it came up, I had no argument at all. There was absolutely no reason for me to take that stance. And so I changed. I wrote a piece for the Australian newspaper about it and just said, hey, we're wrong. And I've been wrong. It's ignorant. And I think it's ignorance in people. It's some sort of stupid fear in people, which doesn't affect them. I can't understand. Look, I interviewed Katie Lang a couple of weeks ago, and
that was a great interview, by the way. I was listening to it on YouTube today.
Oh, thank you. I said, look, how do you feel about the issue of same-sex marriage? Here we've got a prime minister who's an atheist, who is in a de facto relationship, and she quotes God and the Bible, and she supports only heterosexual marriage.
That's peculiar.
And Katie Lang said, get a grip. I think she said, get a grip, Julia.
It's interesting you mentioned ignorance, because you've had a go at Alan Jones in the last few days around his comments around the passing of Julia's father. And a tweet yesterday with regard to those comments, Alan Jones' comments about the PM and her father are a disgrace. Mortified to be in the same profession. What a vicious, nasty old queen. Mm-hmm. That's an opinion that you and I share. Does it worry that you're going to, again, be judged for that sort of comment? Or you're just not scared to have a go at Alan Jones and say you're an idiot?
No, I don't care. I think what Alan Jones did and say was reprehensible. I think his apology was a faux apology. I don't think he's covered himself well at all in any sort of glory. I actually got a lot of bad tweets saying, when you use the word bitter old queen and things like that.
But he is.
And I said, hang on. I said, to use the corny old gay friends line, I said, I know other gays, when they describe somebody as a bitter old queen, I know exactly what they're saying. And I said, I've only got 140 characters to describe a man's character. And by calling Alan Jones a bitter old queen, I think it was exactly accurate as to what he is. He is a misogynist. He's a terrible person in the way he behaves.
And I think you hit the nail on the head, because what Alan Jones, and I feel a bit sorry for him, he's known for being nasty. That's his legacy. It's being nasty and just a vitriolic man. I liked the fact that you used bitchy old queen as a term, because I think the gay community can sometimes get far too precious about those sorts of words.
This wasn't about his sexuality at all. It was an expression I used for somebody else in some other form. I think on Sunrise this morning I called him a tired old tart.
Well done.
That's a lovely expression. And look, sort of to follow on from that, I don't know that Alan has ever declared publicly his sexuality.
Has he not.
No?
Has not. No. I'd love him to.
I mean, it's known.
Yeah, but I'd love him to. And it'd be great. He could be such a power.
Mm.
He could be, if Alan Jones came out and was strongly in favour of same-sex marriage, issues like that, it would be fantastic. But in the end, I mean, okay, I've got to be honest and say that it's up to you. We can't, if I can't, I'm being guilty myself. If I'm judging him and saying, you're not doing what I expect you to do, or I think you should do. It's not for me to tell him what he should do. I mean, he's lived this strange life for decades. So it's not for me to tell him what he has to do.
Well, it isn't, and we certainly don't ask people to do anything they're not keen to do, but it feels like there's a missed opportunity here. If he was ever looking for a bit of redemption, this is it, isn't it? This would be his opportunity to kind of reposition himself, but I don't think he's capable of it.
I also think it's difficult for him politically, given that, he's dangling the strings of Tony Abbott as his marionette.
Oh, that's true.
He actually does have a considerable amount of power, and I think to come out, sort of, we'll go against that.
Not as much as he thinks.
The old legend is not as important as he thinks he is.
No, look, but then there are risks for people, and the perceived risks at times. I mean, go back to 15, 20 years. A gay friend of Jackie's and mine, named Tom Villard. He was in the movie My Girl, and he was a Hollywood actor. And he came out in the 80s, early 90s, and he said it affected his career massively in Hollywood, even then. You know, you've got to take back the days of Rock Hudson marrying a secretary because that was the thing you did in Hollywood. So it does take some courage.
Well, if you look at some of the editorial that Harry Miller did when he was, well, probably 3 or 4 years ago, he came out publicly and said that he didn't feel that it was in celebrities' best interests to declare their sexuality because it might hurt their employment prospects.
Well, it does. I know a famous sportsman who looked at how much it cost Martina Navratilova in endorsements back when she came out, and looked at what she had in Japan, and he thought, this person thought, I'm not going to do that.
I think if we look at when Martina came out, which was, again, late 80s, early 90s, and we look at things 20 years on now, I think it would be very, very different. And there's a lot of sports people and you know, people who are in Hollywood and those sort of folk that, if they did come out, one wonders, would it be as detrimental as their career
now? Not at all. No, not at all. No, not at all. I don't think it would. I think it would affect you at all. I mean, look at Ellen DeGeneres, you know, her TV imprimatur is as strong as Oprah's.
Absolutely, probably bigger
than
Oprah's.
I think she'll outstrip Oprah in the end. Mm. I think she's a talent to be watched. We've just had a message from Sarah from Noble Park. She's called in to say that she loves the show and she loves you, Darren. She thinks you're doing a great job.
Well, that's kind.
And she loves your ideas.
My ideas. Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Well, I think, you know, this is a conversation that the gay community has been really keen to get in on with you around the change of your views.
And well, look, if you can, you've got to change. I mean, if you don't evolve, the ideas you have when you're 20, you're not going to have them when you're 50. You know, the old line about being if you're not a communist by the time when you're 20, you have no soul, and if you are still a communist at 30, then you have no sense. You must change. I mean, it's not a popular. Maybe it is a popular view. I don't know, but my views evolved and changed on capital punishment. I was massively opposed to all capital punishment under any circumstances for 25 years. Then the Cobby case happened in New South Wales, Anita Cobby, and I read the autopsies and I looked at, and so I thought, I won't come out in favour of it. I'm not sure yet, but it's put doubts in my mind. So I actually just sat on the fence and just didn't make an opinion on it for about 3 years. Then I came out, and now I believe in certain circumstances, if you had a high court review panel, so there's no, not reasonable doubt, just no doubt, a Hoddle Street, a Martin Bryant, etc., then I believe that capital punishment, that person has lost their right to live in our community. I won't go into recent cases, but there are times when, by the behaviour of somebody, they have lost the right to be treated as a normal person in our community. As long as there's no doubt at all, and a clemency or a commutation board at a high court level did it. In some circumstances, the rape murder of a child, the execution of a policeman like Wall Street, those things. Then I could happily accept the fact that capital punishment can be used. Now it's not I also say it's not a popular view. It probably is. I think if you held a national referendum on capital punishment under some circumstances, 70% of Australians would probably say they are in favour of it.
That's a big call, isn't it? My view in particular is evolving on capital punishment, because I'm a staunch pacifist, and I think some of the things that you see go down, the things that you've described, for me, that's reshaping some of my views on that. So it's interesting. I'm kind of a watch this space on that.
Well,
position.
I know all the arguments against it because I used to espouse them. I didn't do it very well.
I'm afraid I still do.
Yeah.
Look, I wanted to ask you.
Not afraid. I mean, that's your view. I can accept it.
And I think we can all have differing opinions, and that's what makes our show really good, because Pete and I rarely agree.
That's why we're called Salt and Pepper.
What do you agree on?
The language around equal marriage, that an ice cream at midnight after a radio show is a jolly good idea.
Quite like wine.
Now, you see how subtly I can turn this around? I'm interviewing you.
Yeah, I know.
He's clever, isn't he? He's clever. Look, in terms of interviews, let's go back to that in your career. Tell me, you know, you've got... You know, you don't normally express any regret around convictions that you hold, and I think that's really wonderful. Are there any stories that you've covered or interviews that you've conducted that you think, I'd like to go back and do that differently?
Ironically, I may surprise you, only one. And that was on Malcolm Fraser. Because Malcolm Fraser once banned me, like the way politicians are going to ban Alan Jones now. Malcolm Fraser, I can't remember what it's about now, banned me for 2.5 years, wouldn't speak to me, and then finally his press secretary came and we negotiated that he would come and be interviewed by me. And so I thought, 2.5 years since I've talked to the Prime Minister, I better be ready for this. So I used to drink a lot. So that night, the night before, I didn't drink. I had an early night. I got some sleep. I wished I had the interview next morning, and it was in the papers, big ad saying Hinch and Fraser face-to-face, etc., on 3AW. He walked all over me.
Because you were off your game.
I was off my game. I mean, I should have been I should have had about 3 hours sleep. I should have been
mildly hungover,
scratchy, ready to go for him, and gone after
him. And had a skinful the night before, yeah, and done right. what Darren did.
That's yes. right. And I didn't, and I regret that one. But that was, ironically, that's where the expression shame, shame, shame came from, because I didn't ever say it. This is like James Cagney and You Dirty Rat. Cary Grant and Judy, Judy, Judy. I didn't say it. It was Steve Vizard and Hunch. The first time I ever said shame, shame, shame was during the Wogboy movie, because I figured I'd been blamed for 30 years. I might as well use it, and I did.
But fantastic.
In that Malcolm Fraser interview, I was angry about Cambodia and Pol Pot and the fact that we still recognise Pol Pot in the United Nations for purely political reasons. And I said to Fraser, I texted him about it, and he said, well, that's our position. And I said, well, shame, Australia, shame. And from that, Vizard took it and ran with it, as a comedian does, and I was stuck with it.
And it's interesting that Vizard has been involved in probably the most recent story about you in the paper as well. Apart from
yes, he shouldn't. He shouldn't have been there. I like Steve Vizard. He's a very clever man. But I think, to me, it was ironic and undefensible. It was indefensible that a man who could not be on the board of Fairfax because of what he'd done can be hosting a program on the station that they own. I mean, in 3 years' time, when his time's up as a director's ban, I'm happy. He can come back.
It's a weird beast. Look, you've been around the media for a few years. What's the most challenging thing you've had to cover professionally as a broadcaster? What's been the most difficult day you've had to get up and go to work to talk about something that affected you personally or was very close to your heart?
That's very hard to even think over 50 years. Mm. I tend more to think in terms of the good ones you've managed, the big ones, like I watched men go to the moon as a young. My first radio broadcast was watching men go to the moon from Cape Kennedy.
Wow.
And to be there and watch them go from 10 feet away, I was in the pool to watch them go to climb into the truck to go out to the space rocket. And ironically, and I broadcast it for Fairfax, for Macquarie and around Australia, and I was only in my 20s. But the weirdest thing was that recently I interviewed, on the death of Neil Armstrong, I got the only interview in Australia with Buzz Aldrin.
Because he doesn't do much media, does he?
No, he doesn't. But if he does, I think he gets paid for it, I'm told. Anyway, I didn't pay him, and we got the interview, and I did it, and it was a wonderful interview. I can say so myself. And I walked off air that night at 6 o'clock and thought, boy, that was a real good interview. I really thought that was good. And 2 minutes later, I've called to the manager's office, and I'm sacked.
I was on Twitter the day you tweeted that, and I tweeted back to you and went, are you serious? Because I just listened to 3AW in the interview you'd done, and then there's this tweet coming up, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
No, they said, you're fine. No, I said, well, I've had 3 or 4 meetings with them since, and said, why? They can't tell me. But I said, they said, we're taking the station in a different direction. And I said, we're rating number one, so the only different direction you can go is down.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the rationale behind
it? But in the end,
look,
I've got a job at Channel 7. I was on Sunrise today. I'm loving Channel 7. I went a couple of Saturdays ago after I got the job. I walked in one Saturday morning quietly into Channel 7 and went to the new studios down at Docklands, which I hadn't been in. And I walked in and walked up the escalator to the master control. And I saw all these monitors, all 100 monitors. And I looked around and I just thought, yes, I'm home. And it was a really good feeling. I'm looking forward. I'm just itching to get there.
Oh, look, we're looking forward to seeing you. I think we need to go to some messages.
You have to go to messages. I'm just seeing all the messages.
I know, there's all this pointing going around, and he just
keeps
talking.
Don't be shy.
It's
just cut me off.
It's choreographed. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors. Right. Let's have a kiki.
You're having a kiki with Serena and Pete here on Joy 94.9.
I want to have a kiki.
Dive, turn, work.
Let's have a kiki.
We are going to serve.
And work.
And turn.
And honey.
Hello, this is Nelson Aspen, and you're tuned in to Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. This is Salt and Pepper with Serena and Pete, and the wonderful Darren Hinch is still with us tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, he hasn't gone. He hasn't left the building,
he hasn't,
so to speak.
Not at all. Look, Darren, I want to go back to same-sex marriage. And there's a tremendous groundswell of support from people in broadcasting and in the media. And I think the gay community feels that quite acutely right now. But it doesn't seem to be moving forward.
Do you know why? because it was a con, what's happened with the Gillard government. To me, it's the same con that the Howard government pulled on the Republic. What they did was that they kept saying, don't give us the politicians, the Republic, etc., etc. John Howard knew, by manipulating that convention, that it would not pass, not pass the referendum. The same way Julia Gillard knew at the ALP conference, they could give a little bit and get it there, knowing it would never pass. And so, she knew the Liberals, that Abbott would never give you a conscience vote. And so it was a setup. And the only thing is that, like Gough Whitlam once told me about a republic, he said, look, it's not revolutionary, it's evolutionary, it will happen. The same as with gay marriage. It's going to happen. This, the sad part about it is that we're going to look back in 10 years' time and say, what was the weight? Why were they fingernails on the bloody desk? Why were they holding on like that? And what were they afraid of?
And why did they choose to be on the wrong side of history?
Yeah, well,
this is the bit we don't understand.
If you can't get a Labor government with Julia Gillard, who's been for the socialist left, who's been leading in those areas, sometimes on issues that I don't agree with, and yet now she's as conservative as anybody. It's watching a different person.
It is like watching a different person, and I think it's the most frustrating thing is that in years past she's declared her hand. When she was at university, when she was at Slater and Gordon, all of those years where I read some of the tweets that were going to Alan Jones this morning, and there was an ABC. Anyone who listens to the ABC are Australian bred communists. That's what ABC apparently stands for. And I thought this is some of the same sort of stuff that's being directed at Julia Gillard. And I wanted to sort of bring Alan Jones back to that. Do you think that she's picked on and she gets it that she's treated unfairly because she's a female?
No.
You don't?
Not at all. Not at all. Look at John Howard. I mean, you had Mungo McCullum saying that John Howard was a turd floating in a bowl, doing a victory lap of the toilet bowl, he once said. You've got Catherine Devaney saying and she's now the expert, she's saying that they hope the end of the age got arse cancer. I mean, people have copped all this. Howard, when he was depicted as George Bush's lackey, as a dog, as all these things, I think that Prime Ministers cop it, and Julia Gillard, she gets it because people think she lied and think she's bad.
And
not because she's a female. I mean, if Julia Gillard were called Joe Gillard, she'd be in the same reaction if she'd done the same things, that there will not be a carbon tax under any government that I lead. I think that's canard. I don't agree with it at all.
I think it's a red herring. I think she's paid very well to take the slings and arrows. Yeah. And
I attack her as a Prime Minister.
Fantastic.
And yet I also say that nothing against what Alan Jones did, is that you must accord the office some respect. Now, people say, you've got to earn the respect. I said, no, the office of Prime Minister has some respect. I mean, I guess for 11 years I live in the United States, the office of the President gets some respect. Even when Richard Nixon was being destroyed, as he should have been, because of Watergate, the office of the presidency still had the aura, and it must have it, because in a democracy, you have to have some of those symbols. In Gillard's case, no, I don't think she's getting a hard time, and I'm getting a whine because she's a woman. Thank you.
Well, I think it's interesting as well. Just Julia is all about her position on same-sex marriage is around her personal belief. And I didn't vote for a government based on what they think personally. I think that they're there to lead based on what the voters are telling them. And this is, I think, one of her crucial errors around
absolutely.
This issue.
But also, doesn't it intrigue you that's her personal belief?
How can an atheist
living in a de facto relationship have that belief?
And then,
it puzzles me.
And then, bang out about God when, in fact, she doesn't believe in God. And
look,
it's terribly
confusing. It does beg a belief.
Darren,
a quick message here for you. Great to hear your voice on air again. Champ, you haven't responded to my emails yet.
Who is it?
Dougal. We'll put you in touch with Dougal post-program. And there was another one there, Serena.
I think it's, again, Sarah from Noble Park. She says, hello, Joy, I like it when you told about the... Oh, okay. It's just it's inappropriate. I'm not going to read it out.
I think she was referring to the comment.
Can I read it out?
Why don't you read it out?
I think she's referring to Darren's comment around capital punishment and where it would be appropriate. And I think she's making a personal reference to that.
Okay, yeah, raping kids in homes. It's probably... It's one of the tweets from Sarah in Noble Park.
Okay. We might leave that to go.
Look, Darren, we've really enjoyed having you tonight. It's a thrill to have you here. I would love to have a couple of hours here just to hear you tell your stories.
You're very kind. It's very kind. And it's good to be here. Thank you for your time. And I know I've got you behind time now because I've got you 4 minutes late.
Work every minute.
You've got to learn to do the... You've got to wind people much more viciously.
We play it as it is. We'll drop the track.
drop boogie shoes and for a bit of Darren. Yeah.
Guys, Darren, thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Good night. Thank you.
Oh, goodness me. Sorry. I'm getting slightly... See, this is going live at this hour of the night.
I'm going to feel that.
Oh, he's a rascal, that bloody Darren Hinch.
We've got to get him out of the studio. Our next guest is Ruth Forrest. She's the independent member of the Legislative Council in Tasmania. Why are we speaking to her, Serena? Run us through Ruth Forrest.
Well, I don't know a lot about Ruth, but I do know that she was raised on a dairy, beef and potato farm in Rihanna and has lived on the northwest coast of Tasmania all of her life. She's a working mum. She's got kids. She's working very hard and she has a passion for same-sex marriage. We'd like to say good evening to Ruth.
Hello, how are you?
Good evening, Ruth. Look, it's great to talk to you and thank you for joining us. We wanted to talk to you. You were sort of one of the architects of the equal marriage discussion in Parliament in Tasmania last week. And we just want to play a bit of audio of some of the comments that were made in and around the debate before we pop back and have a chat to you.
That's fine.
This issue of same-sex marriage has challenged every fabric of my being.
I urge the honourable members present to vote with their conscience on this bill, in the knowledge that it is not a political issue, it is a personal one.
I'm not persuaded that there is a majority support for the principle of this legislation.
Madam President, I want to live in a society where we say to gay people, it's okay to be you, nothing less. I don't think this bill does that.
I am inclined to support this bill because it reduces discrimination, shows tolerance.
I believe a majority in my electorate support the passing of this bill. I've just been through an election and I can tell you I've pounded the streets and I've knocked on the doors.
Lawyers may be salivating at the prospect, although I would suggest ordinary taxpayers are not.
What you are doing is enacting a law which has every likelihood of being thrown out at first base. I think you're irresponsible.
To me, people are hiding behind legalities rather than standing up for what they truly believe in.
Joy 94.9.
That was Premier Lara Giddings, who was unable to join us this evening to continue a discussion we've had over the last few weeks with her on Salt and Pepper. We're joined by Ruth Forrest, who is the member for Murchison in Tasmania's northwest. Ruth, you were part of that discussion in the Legislative Council in Tasmania. How did you feel, sort of listening to some of those arguments, and you know, what's next?
Well, look, as you said, I'm a strong supporter of this legislation. And I believe it is just a matter of time. I would like to see Tasmania first in bringing the legislation into the state level. I found some of the debate, everyone's entitled to their views, absolutely, and people do their own work and they come up with their own reasoning and rationale behind their decisions. But I think we sort of tended to slip away from who does this really mean a lot to, who does this matter to, who will this impact? And the people that are most impacted by this legislation are people in same-sex relationships or family members and friends of those people. The people who it doesn't affect is people who are heterosexual in marriages or seeking to be married or in relationships seeking not to get married, just to be in a de facto or whatever. It doesn't change their relationships at all, or does it broaden the number of people that can actually access marriage. Now, there's some discussion about it not being exactly equal or totally equal, because to do that, and I do agree, to do that you would need federal legislation. But because federal legislation has legislated in this area for heterosexual couples to marry, the states can't do that, but it has left the door open for same-sex marriage. That's why it would be a same-sex marriage. But what the gay community have told us quite clearly and unequivocally is that even though it might be called same-sex marriage, it is marriage. It comes with all the same rights and responsibilities that a marriage under the Federal Marriage Act would, and that's what matters to them. So they can have a ceremony with their family, friends around them. They can make that commitment to another person for life to the exclusion of all others, and that's what they want to be able to do.
Look, I think, you know, you've raised some really valid points there, and certainly these are not new points, and I really appreciate the passion of your conviction here. It came down to quite a close vote. It was 8-6 in the end.
Yes.
But what do you think, how would you describe the level of lobbying that was taking place amongst the members in the upper house to prevent this from going through?
The lobbying was pretty intense from both sides, I guess. It's interesting that the pro side, the supportive side of the debate, were appealing for equal treatment in this area for themselves, for their family, for their friends, because it meant an enormous amount to them as individuals and as, you know, fellow humans, I guess. The opposing side, which there was a significant number too, tended to focus on marriage has always been between a man and a woman, which is not completely correct. But it's, you know, it's a religious institution. It's the bedrock of society. Well, yes, marriage as an institution is the bedrock of society, but it doesn't mean you can't share it more broadly. There was not that long ago, blacks couldn't marry whites. Catholics couldn't marry non-Catholics.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Indigenous people didn't have the right to vote until the late 60s.
That's right. You know, so these things, a lot of these other changes to marriage have happened without the need for legislative change. They've really been policy changes. In this case, there is a legislative barrier, so the only way to deal with that is to have legislative change. So I think whilst it was a close vote, the lobbying was very intense, but the only really opposing argument that were around religious aspects, but then people brought up the concerns about the constitution, which is fine, but we had a range of opinions being put. And the only thing that was agreed on by all, pretty much, was that there is a grey area that it can only be determined by the High Court. But that's how it's supposed to work. Mm. Parliaments make laws, courts determine the outcomes if there's a challenge. That's how it works. Every time any parliament passes a law, and I'm not sure the actual figures, but someone mentioned the other day how many laws are challenged every year in the High Court. There are hundreds.
Mm, there's a lot.
And so that's how it works. There's nothing unusual or wrong about that.
Mm. Ruth, we're speaking with Ruth Foster. She is the independent member of the Legislative Council in Murchison in Tasmania's northwest. There's been a suggestion that the bill's not dead and a committee will look at issues around legality. How much will change if the committee can come back and answer those legal issues? And do you think the votes will change to give us a different outcome?
Well, look, I moved. It was my intention if the vote was didn't support the legislation, that I'd move for a committee to actually look at these issues, because it became very clear that the majority, this is really important, the majority of members of the Legislative Council in Tasmania support the principle of same-sex marriage. That was very clear. So there is a genuine level of support for the principle of the bill. The problems were the issues of constitutional challenge, or constitutional issues that resulted in a High Court challenge, perhaps issues of discrimination or concerns about churches being called to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies when they might not want to, which I don't think is a real issue, but that was one that was raised, and also the issue about the mandate from the government today. So those are the sort of things that that seem to be barriers to getting this legislation passed, rather than getting it into a committee of the whole chamber or the whole Legislative Council, that was voted down. So my move now is to establish a committee that can look specifically at these issues, not whether or not same-sex marriage would occur. That's a matter for debate on a bill. But these issues around constitutional issues, discriminatory issues, that sort of thing, I hope members will support that, because these questions need to be further fleshed out and answered before we reintroduce a bill of any for same-sex marriage. And also, not only in Tasmania, but any other state could actually look at the evidence of the committee, because it's all taken on the record, and so it's available to any other parliament who may want to look at it.
Ruth, we'd be really interested to keep in touch with you around the development of that committee and its terms of reference and what it hopes to achieve in terms of, you know, examining the constitutional implications. We've very much enjoyed having you as a guest on our show tonight, and thank you so much for your time and for your passion. It's not often we see an independent candidate push forward a bill such as this, so we do appreciate your time and your passion.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to talk about it any time. So thank you.
Take very good care. We've been chatting to Ruth Forrest from Tasmania. She's the independent member for Murchison in Tasmania's northwest.
And thank you, Ruth. We're just going to have some messages and we'll be back to continue tonight's show. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Serena and Pete on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation.
Hello, this is Kate Sobrano on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Ms. Sobrano, for popping in and giving us that message. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. We move to a segment that we shall call In the News.
It sounds quite fancy, because listeners that have tuned in previously would know that we've typically divvied up the show. We're changing it all. We're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, Pete.
We absolutely are. We've bought a new bath. We've got the whole box and dust. In the News is a weekly wrap of the stories that we've found from around the world that have aroused our interest. They're the stories that our LGBT and mainstream media have missed or that we've uncovered. A full wrap of these stories can be read on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/pages/saltandpepperradio. That's all hyphenated. Google Salt and Pepper Radio on Facebook. You'll find us. This week in the news features Sean Savoy, Serena.
It does. Sean Savoy is an ordained minister, radio personality, writer, editor and public speaker who lectures in the United States and abroad. He presents a weekly program called The House of Savoy, which airs locally in Reno, Nevada, from September last year through to August 19 this year. House of Savoy was pulled from the Fox News Radio affiliate 99.1 FM Talk because of an interview with a Dallas, Texas-based gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender activist. And it's 3 a.m. in Nevada, but Sean is joining us now on the phone. Good evening, Sean.
Good morning.
Whatever time works for you, sir, is absolutely fine.
We're talking to you from the future. How does that feel?
It feels wonderful. I always knew I had transcended time.
Oh, that's good. He's good. It's 3 a.m. in the morning,
yeah,
and he's sharp,
sharp
as a tack.
Yep.
Look at him go. Look, Sean...
It's Nevada. We're a 24-hour state.
Right.
You know, Las Vegas and Reno.
Yeah, oh, how
fantastic.
Can you go wrong?
Can't go wrong at all. Sean, we're just going to chat to you tonight around the interview that you did with your guest, and we're going to play some audio of that now, some of the commentary that you made, and then we're going to come back and chat to you as to, you know, that commentary actually got you fired. So sit tight whilst we play this for our listeners.
I think a lot of the issue is ignorance. You know, a lot of people don't have gay people in their lives, or if they do, it's something that's foreign and they don't understand. And even for those who do, who are sympathetic, it's often difficult for them to understand why a person is attracted to someone of the same sex and why they choose to live that life. I don't want to say lifestyle, because to me, in my understanding, we're human beings. Everyone is human, and we live a life. We may choose different manner in which to do so. You also are a writer. Go ahead, Will. Please comment on
that. That's a primary concern.
Yes, and that is that we... Is it the stereotype that's the problem?
Not even the stereotype. It amazes me that sexuality is an issue for anyone. I don't spend my time worrying about what other people do sexually.
Right. If I did, I'd be very preoccupied. I would probably find time for much of anything else.
Yeah, that amazes me that we're so preoccupied with somebody's sexuality. It still stuns me.
Yeah, I don't understand it myself either. I can understand maybe people feeling comfortable because they don't understand or they're not used to seeing perhaps a display of public affection or something like that. But the criticism that happens and the outright discrimination and the hate that one might experience is, to me, flabbergasting, especially in our day and age when there have been so many social revolutions that have led this country to such great heights.
Joy 94.9.
Sean, tell us... Yes. Tell us your response to being fired. Walk us through that, because we've just played that audio and it's a very simple discussion. It's not inflammatory in any way, shape or form. You know, you present a couple of programs for this show, and tell us how it happened that you came to be fired.
Well, and technically, I suppose I wasn't really fired. What happened was my show was fired. my show was independently produced. In other words, I have a producer whom I pay. And that producer, in turn, buys airtime from different radio stations, and he placed me on the Fox News Radio network here in the United States. Fox News Radio tends to be quite conservative. I didn't mind being on that station. The affiliate here in Reno, Nevada, didn't really bother me because my show isn't political so much. It really is just a public affairs program, and I've spoken about many, many different topics. And here in the United States, at the time of that interview with Mr. Will Cobb out of Dallas, Texas, there was a big, big story going on about the owner of a fast food chain restaurant who came out against gay marriage because of his belief in the Bible. And so I had Mr. Cobb on at that time to discuss that and his views about LGBT rights. And so I thought it was very relevant and newsworthy, and we were very careful to be very dignified in our conversation and have a conversation that would be acceptable anywhere. And I was shocked to learn that the station owner, Mr. Jerry Evans, here in Nevada, called up my producer and had my show canceled because of that interview.
It's outrageous to think that somebody would do that, but then people who generally hold very strong religious views may react interestingly. But and the reason I bring up religion, you present two programs that have been picked up on various stations. One of those is House of Savoy, about which we're speaking, a public affairs program. The other is Higher Calling, which is an interfaith program. You're an ordained minister. Have there been offers from elsewhere now that this situation's hit the press that HuffPost gave, picked it up?
Yes. Oh, yes. But originally, the story broke because I went to GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and they got behind the story, and we put out a press release that then went everywhere. It was picked up by LGBTQ Nation, The Advocate, the New Civil Rights Movement, and many, many, many other gay and lesbian news outlets throughout our country and the world. And then GLAAD has followed up with several updates. And then they asked me to write my own essay, which they put forth to the Huffington Post, and then that went out. It also appeared in some mainstream media here in Reno, Nevada, in the Reno Gazette Journal, in Montreal, and some other papers. In fact, I was even contacted by MSNBC, which is a very, very large network here, such as Fox or ABC or CBS. But my story fell right between the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention. You know, we're having elections here in the United States.
Oh, yeah, we know.
We're aware.
Yes, so it got buried a little bit, which kind of startled me because it is such a hot topic, that is LGBT issues right now.
It is a very hot topic, and we follow the U.S. quite closely as it relates to same-sex marriage equality in America, because you've got a president that's has an opinion that's evolved into supporting the rights of gay people to enter into marriage in a legal sense. We, on the other hand, in Australia, have the opposite. We have a prime minister that does not endorse it. So we do follow American politics very well. And I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you was, it seems like this whole issue that's come up in the news for your show and the firing of your show, and not necessarily yourself, as you've stated, has gotten you into a place where you've clarified your own position around homosexuality in the public?
Well, my position has always been one of support. I have many members of my own family, cousins and other relatives who are gay. In fact, my uncle was gay, and he passed away from contracting a disease. But I've always supported it throughout my life, and I'm turning 40, in fact, here in just a week's time.
Oh, my God, we're almost twins.
All right, yeah, October 7th is my birthday.
A day before.
Well, okay. Well, a day before there, I don't know, maybe we were actually born at the same time.
A couple of years apart, but, just as a heads up, but anyway.
But
don't want to be rude.
But, I have been bisexual, and I've lived a heterosexual life also, but I have become, I guess, in full acceptance of my homosexuality. I entered into a relationship in January and slowly began coming out to my family. And when this story broke in August, September of this year, I figured I really needed to take the opportunity to come out fully to the public. So yes, the story has prompted me to out myself in a positive, I believe, way, but very public way. And it's just been interesting from the standpoint of my community here in Reno, where I grew up. Many people have now discovered my homosexuality through the news. But I believe that that's a fine thing, because as an advocate for the LGBT community, I believe it's important to be upfront at this point. I was never hiding or never lying. It was a matter of progress and process and transition. So it has been quite amazing, the whole thing.
Well, dare we say congratulations and welcome to the team. Sean, it's been a joy to chat to you this evening, and we'll stay in touch, because there's obviously a lot happening in the United States over the next few months that certainly may bear some interest for us.
And thank you so much for sharing.
And have me on again if you'd like some more insight into what's happening here. And I'm always available online at seansavoy.com as well.
Look at you getting a free plug there, mate. What are you like? Look, we do congratulate you heartily, and we also really appreciate you getting up at such an early time in lovely Nevada. And thank you for sharing your story tonight. We wish you the very best, and we will talk to you again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Isn't he a nice young man? I think we need to go to some messages. What
do
you reckon?
I think we should.
Let's do it. You're listening to Serena and Pete on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
This is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Lucky you.
I do like a bit of Julia.
I know you do.
I think she's a very nice young lady.
She's quite the talent.
Wasn't that Sean Savoy very nice?
Yeah, he was. I'd like to talk to him again when we've got a bit more time.
Well, he was very gracious because we only contacted him on the weekend, and he came through with the confirmation this morning.
Mm.
And he literally, we were trading text messages all day to make sure that we had our world clock on time and that he would actually be able to get up. And our very capable technical producer, Matt, was texting him to make sure that he was up and awake. So he's a good egg. He's a good sport, I think. And we do wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, we do.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Oh,
absolutely.
40 years of age.
Oh, if I only could remember what it was like to be 40.
Philly.
Other news stories that have caught our eye this week.
Yeah, look, California has officially banned gay conversion. So we've followed this for a while now. We've chatted with John Becker from The Truth Wins Out. He did that whole exposure for the Marcus Blackmun Clinic. And so we know that the governor of California, Jerry Brown, on Monday endorsed that the US state become the first to ban a form of therapy designed to change sexual orientation to minors. I would hope that there would be a direct correlation between the banning of this therapy and a reduction in suicide in young ones.
It's more than likely. The other story that we did pick up on, not all NFL players are supporting equal marriage. The NFL's Matt Burke has spoken out against gay marriage. In the news recently, Chris Clue of the Minnesota Vikings and Brendan Ayanbanjiru of the Ravens spoke very publicly in support of marriage equality. The Baltimore Ravens center Matt Burke wants people to know that not everyone in the NFL thinks gay marriage is a good thing. He says, I think it's important to set the record straight about what the marriage debate is and is not about, and to clarify that not all NFL players think redefining marriage is a good thing. So not such a good news story at all.
Well, you know, I think it's important that we don't censor people's opinions.
Nope.
So I think they're well within their rights. And certainly, Pete, in terms of our goal for the show, we're going to look at homophobia in sport.
Absolutely.
It's one of the goals that we have. We plan to kick that goal, to use the sporting metaphor,
my goodness,
if you like.
With your sporting
oh,
parlance.
Look what happens when I'm awake between 7 and 8 and I'm live.
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to wrap this baby up.
We do.
And we've got to hand over to another show, to the lovely folk on the Spirit Lounge, the Priest, the Poof and the Pom.
That's a great little show.
I love it. Thank you to our guests, Darren Hinch, to Ruth Forrest, and also to Sean Savoy.
We would like to encourage people to send us a message if they'd like to tell us about what they thought of tonight's show. You can get us at saltandpepper@joy.org.au. Drop us a tweet, saltnpepperjoy.
And thank you to Matt Nock, who is our wonderful technical producer. And stand by, we have some very big news in the week about next week's guest.
Next week's show is a corker.
Rockin'.
Good night, everyone. Good Thanks night. For listening.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so excited. Sky rockets in flight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.